There were capture and release aspects to the cicada safari we've been hearing about on Culture File this week, with travellers who aimed both to record the unique sonics of the cicadas en masse and also to add something to the soundscape with their own music. Among those on safari was David Rothenberg, an innovator in improvising music with animals, and Irish composer Karen Power. Power's work encompasses orchestral music, field recordings and improvisation, and uses instrumentation from keyboards and Bluetooth speakers to parabolic microphones for zooming in on a particular favourite type of critter.
I've always loved the sound of insects. I just think there's something quite amazing about something that's so small that emits such a powerful call, and variety of call, and they all have these cyclical patterns in their calls. So when you listen to them, you're immediately aware of macro and micro. And I don't think there are many other species where that's so obvious. So for me, that's what I'm attracted to. So right now, you know, we're hearing this blanket. And within that blanket, there are calls coming from my left and calls coming from my right. And sort of somewhere in that middle, you get that sense of motion. It's the hypnotic, again, going back to that sense of, something that kind of just pulls you in sonically and wraps around you. For me, that's what it feels like. I suppose there's a couple of very interesting things, one of which is just an observation from being here, and I guess the other is part of what I would have known coming in. And I think what makes the periodic cicadas particularly interesting is just the amount of variety. So like in any cicada sound, I would always describe it as like this wall of sound with these tiny moments of like as if somebody is just trying to peek through it, right? Push a little sound through the wall. But here we're getting that, but we're also getting this motion and we're getting the depth. So we have the traditional kind of, you know, high cicadas, which actually work very well with the wind here. And then you work downwards. So you have these, I'm not sure if everybody would hear the layers, but I hear layers. So I hear a kind of a top layer band, which I would say is probably about like maybe an octave deep, way up. And then I hear the next band, which is where that call, the long call, will happen.
This is the pharaoh thing.
The pharaoh thing. Yes, which is where that will happen. And we were just talking about this a while ago. So I've been hearing some of those calls are sometimes a slightly different pitch. So you're getting this kind of sonic cluster if you hear a few of them. And of course, they don't synchronize either. So you might hear a call, one is ending, but the other is still going. And it's a slightly different pitch. It's almost like difference pitch. And then underneath that is this elusive kind of hum that I've been chasing for the 5 days that I'm here. I've been trying to get closer to it. I heard it pretty well. You hear it better in the morning, I think, before these guys kind of do what they do. But that to me was a complete surprise. And it fills out the whole harmonic spectrum beautifully. So lots to work with.
Part of what's happening here with David Rothenberg and the people that's with him, the musicians, the idea that the cicadas are listening creatures, so they're listening to us, so that's one of the points of making music with and to them. How are you feeling about the relationship of the human music makers and the insect music makers? You were saying earlier, like when you're going to play with David and everybody, you're not going to use sounds that you've collected here so as not to be competing. That's like one of your thoughts anyway, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that for me would seem like an obvious, you know, just to avoid any confusion. Yeah, I mean, I suppose, you know, I'm using field recordings here. Now, most of them are processed, but so they're sounds from all over the world. Like, what happens if I play a cicada sound from South America to a cicada here? Do they suddenly get excited and think there's something? I don't know. So that's my point, is that there's a lot I don't know.
Could be like first contact with outer space or something.
Yes, I would be proud to facilitate that first contact. Like, it's great to have a group like this of very different people with different backgrounds and different interests coming together and just chatting with people. And, you know, just I think if anybody is going to test this and try this, then the fact that it's artists, I'm very reassured by, because we are listeners and we are generally incredibly sensitive to our environment and what's happening around. And and obviously as an improviser, that's doubly so. So in that respect, I think it could be kind of exciting also for maybe what it could unearth for maybe the science community who are going off on their own path to communicate with the animals. Like, maybe, you know, there's something there that maybe artists could offer a perspective that they might not have considered. So that could be exciting.
There is this kind of movement in AI to, you know, where large language models are what's going on, and they're about translating from one language to another. And there is then this assumption that you should be able to translate animal sounds into something we could understand. And that's proceeding as a sort of research area without much feeling of what that could mean.
Yeah. So that's where my worry comes from, is hearing about those kinds of experiments that are, as you say, proceeding. There's so much presumption, and it comes back to deep within my own practice of, you know, the idea of like, I choose to go to places where humans are not top dog, for the reason that it's humbling, and it allows you to experience a different life, a different sense of the way life works, and I think that's kind of, that knowledge should be what's put first if you're going to explore through AI and communicate with an animal. But I fear it's maybe not, because it's nuanced. There's no right answer.
Karen Power there, listening and playing among the cicada broods of Springfield, Illinois.